2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Okay, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Download the podcast if you're unable to hear the full program. Every day we've got content pumping out of the old podcast, so find that wherever podcasts are found. Go to KSLSports.com, click on the podcast button, download any of the podcast products that we have there, including KSL's Unrivaled. Also, you can read bylines like that of Ben Anderson, who is with us right here, our Jazz and NBA insider kind of pop culture know-it-all, also on the show here with us. Do you accept that title, pop culture know-it-all?
Yeah, I should change my my Twitter bio.
Go to that. You've been watching this whole Last Dance documentary, and I think all of us have gotten a new look at Michael Jordan. I think something that we all knew how well, we were told, we heard tale about how competitive he was, and we saw it certainly when he played. What have you gleaned from this that is different that what you thought or imagined? Because you're kind of in that same age group that I am, where it's like, oh, hey, during these formative teen years, Michael Jordan was like winning championships, and that like blew my mind. I was so glad to be like living and watching all that happen at the same time.
He's a little less Mamba mentality, and actually I think that makes sense, because nobody really got a sense of what Michael was, and he's more well-rounded than I think I thought he was. And I actually wonder if Kobe kind of had that same feeling, where Kobe, you know, we hear these stories of ultimate competitiveness from Michael and punching Steve Kerr and fighting with guys, but I think you see him in these videos and he seems a little more human than I expected him to. And I never thought Kobe's competitiveness came off as all that human, which is why it kind of got that Mamba mentality label, and always just kind of everything got vacuumed in or thrown into that vacuum.
Sure.
Now with Jordan, his relationships with some of the different players, his ability to goof around with some of the guys, even though it was probably at some points cruel, he actually is just a little more well-rounded than I expect him to. He's got a little bit more of a recognizable life than I thought we were going to get out of this. And I think that in that sense, the documentaries, we've been really good, you know, really comprehensive and kind of opening our eyes or sharing Michael Jordan with us, which is honestly what I think I had hoped would happen. Just so I could get a better sense of you know, maybe the greatest athlete of all time, what he was, who he is.
That's been awesome.
Well, yeah, it has been. And there were a couple of moments that have come out, like you saw him weeping on the floor after winning the championship when his dad passed away. And it was one of those real moments, you know, a real person moment. I think, though, that Sports Illustrated has come out with an article. And, of course, he's in a longstanding feud with them. And they're like, the reason the Bulls won wasn't because Michael Jordan – like made all these players tough, and this tough love, even you could question whether it was bullying or whatever. It was because he was really good, the best player on the planet, like head and shoulders. Scottie Pippen was like a 1A, maybe a 2. And then they had a Dennis Rodman, Horace Grant type of player that was kind of the guy that would, you know, go and you know, roll up his sleeves and get dirty in the mud, you know, under the basket kind of thing. And then from there, it didn't matter. You know, you just had you could replace a Steve Kerr with a John Paxton or whatever. And so, but I don't believe that. I don't believe it was because Jordan was great. I think he really elevated the play of every single player on that team. And he may have had his methods, and maybe people agreed or disagreed with him, but I think his greatness was actually pushing, you know, people to be to be the best version of themselves. And let's face it, who doesn't want to hit, who doesn't want to punch Steve Kerr, right? I mean,
now more than ever.
Yeah,
right?
It's like it's a Golden State. Yeah, smart aleck guy. I'd like to punch him in the nose.
Okay, Ben. What I wanted to ask too was ESPN put out that list of the top 74 players of all time, or whatever, and they put out the top 5 or 10 or whatever, and it was LeBron James 2, Michael Jordan 1. I think we were all sort of anticipating that. Do you think that the
momentum...
Why'd
you say LeBron first? Because it made it sound like he was number 1. You said LeBron James 2, Michael number 1.
That's what it was on the list.
Right, but it made it sound like LeBron was number 1 in your mind.
No. What I'm saying is that they put on the list all the way down, and you were waiting for it to be whatever 1 and 2 was. And number 1 was Michael Jordan, number 2 is LeBron. So... do you think that the momentum of the documentary has solidified that, or is it just because it's got that momentum that people are a little bit easier, or does he deserve that? Is LeBron James a solid number 2 spot there?
I think it's accurate, and I do think the documentary has swayed people's opinion, but maybe it's just better informed people, where when you win 6 championships in 8 years and you weren't playing for 2, well, I guess 1.5 of them, he did come back and lose to that Shaq Orlando Magic team. But when you win that many in a row, it's remarkable and it's a sign of something. And, you know, LeBron has – and it's not all his fault, but he's lost 6 finals. He's lost finals when he was favored, when he was with Miami. He lost 2 finals he probably shouldn't have lost. So I do think those fall on LeBron, and I think that's fair criticism. And Michael doesn't have that once he got to the highest level. It was just – it was almost impossible to take it from him. I've been surprised watching on Twitter, following Jazz players, NBA players – how many current NBA guys were not familiar with as much of Michael as it seems like they weren't, including George Niang saying, how would you ever let me say anyone other than Michael was the best? And you know, he was blaming his teammates for claiming that LeBron was the best player ever, like he had never seen Michael play or like he'd never kind of lived this experience. And A, it gives you a sense of the vacuum those guys live in, where they don't have this great history of the game, and B, how young a lot of these guys are, where they've only grown up watching LeBron, where they didn't recognize how different Michael actually was and what that felt like to watch him play the game.
There was that Kevin Garnett story that we listened to a few weeks ago where I can't remember, it was on some podcast, and he went out there and he had like put on like 25 points in the first half against Jordan, and they were up by 2, and he started talking trash to Michael Jordan, and one of the other veterans from the Celtics runs over and was like, Mike, he doesn't mean it, he's a rookie, he's stupid, he doesn't know what he's talking about, and Kevin Garnett's like, yeah, I was like, whatever, dude, I own you. And then they came back, Michael Jordan scored like 52, and they ended up winning by 20 over the Celtics, and it was like, and he didn't even look at Kevin Garnett, he's like, I've never even heard of you. Like,
So, Ben, this would be a big deal to me. So the football in the NFL, it was very particular to me. The grain of the leather, the feel of the ball. And I know it's that way for NBA guys. There's talk that there's a new basketball.
Yeah, so Wilson, according to Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports, Wilson's going to come back and be the producer of the new NBA basketball starting in 2021. Well, where Spalding has been doing it since 1983, so whatever that is, you know, 37 years now, 36 years. So they're going to make that change. And do you guys remember in 2006, Spalding tried to change the ball, and it was kind of that multi-colored tan and light tan.
It was like brown and light brown. Yeah. Everybody hated it.
It was plasticky.
It looked like, oh, so this is what the WNBA plays with, right? Like, it was like,
it's a real thing. It's going to be fascinating to me to see how, if the player, I mean, it's a whole new brand. It's a different brand of basketball. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's
scoring's going down. I'm
these
just
are the
you.
Same guys who they'll go out and bounce a rubber ball in their front yard or in the gym or go play street ball. They don't care.
They care about stuff like this.
Here's the thing I wonder about. Honestly, this is going to be silly, but the feeling of the Spalding letters, because they're kind of they're impressed on the actual ball.
Sure.
You can line your fingers up with the word Spalding, and Wilson will honestly have a different feel. And I know that's silly to think, but guys who are shooting free throws, when you kind of have an ability to actually set the ball and line it up, I guarantee you, Scott, the same way you found the laces, guys would find the letters. Well, to listen, find where these they are to have their fingers.
It's a thing.
It's
a real thing.
The quarterbacks aren't showing up and deflating, or the point guards aren't showing up and deflating the basketballs, putting the basketballs in a dryer all week to make sure that the sheen is off of them.
You think they're not? You don't know.
They'll figure it out. As long as it's not like a multicolored, ABA basketball, I think we'll be okay. Final question here, Ben. The Jazz are slowly moving into, and we hit that May 8th deadline where the NBA said, yeah, we're going to start letting people into the practice facilities, and the Jazz are one of those teams that, they have a handful of guys coming back to work out at a time. What's the timeline look like for that, and do we know, I think we know that Donovan Mitchell still isn't even in the state of Utah yet.
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson yesterday posted a video of himself or a photo of himself on Instagram. Looked like he was in a private plane, so that's a good sign. He's coming back. The Jazz did welcome players back in, last Monday?
Yeah.
So a little more than a week ago now. So those are all good signs that the players are coming back, and certainly guys are making an effort to come back. And look, the NBA is going to tell you there's only four guys at a time. Everyone's going to do their best to make sure there's only four guys at a time. These guys are absolutely going to be playing together. There's just no way. And honestly, to get to that point where we're talking about, herd immunity, like the idea of these guys kind of all playing together when they're young and healthy, and if someone is going to get sick or multiple guys are going to get sick, it might be like your kids when we had chicken pox growing up where your mom would say, hey, go play with him so you can get it now so we can just get it taken care of. There honestly might be a push in some of these guys to say, look, Donovan got it, didn't know it. Rudy had it, had a couple of minor issues with it, felt sick one day, lost his taste, but otherwise he's fine now. There may be a push from a lot of these guys to say, hey, you know what? If we can get this taken care of while the season's not going on and I'm not going to miss time, I'm not going to miss games, I might rather have it. And I just, how competitive these guys are, you're going to see that type of thing.
Just like the old, the chicken pox parties in the 80s. That's what people are going to do now. It's the COVID-19 parties. Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com. Read his byline there and get the insights that you want about the Jazz and the NBA on KSLSports.com. Ben, thanks for hanging out, man. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, guys.
Taking the break. We'll come back. News, traffic, and weather right now on KSL News Radio. More of KSL's Unrivaled next on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.